Well, as you know, over the past few months, we have had specific topics for the month that all three of us pastors have preached on, and sometimes another voice, or Pastor Dave has preached twice, or one of us has preached twice. This month, we wanted to do Pastor's Choice or Flavor of the Month of the Week. Huh, isn't that an awesome graphic? Dan Peters does an awesome job. Isn't that creative? I love it. I love the creativity. And makes church fun. And so we as pastors this month are free to kind of go where we feel like we should go. And it is always a privilege to be able to kick off the month. And I felt like I was challenged of the Lord to bring a biblical perspective of what's going on the earth today. And I did not take that assignment lightly. Not that I ever do, but would you join me in prayer? Father, help. Help us, Father, as we look into your word and try to bring some understanding to what is going on in this day and what you are doing in the midst of everything that's going on. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we thank you that you will walk out this message with us this morning. And everybody said, Amen. There has been a portion of Scripture that has been rumbling in my mind and heart for a few months, and especially over the past few weeks. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalms chapter 2. Pretty familiar portion of Scripture, perhaps, to many of us. Psalms chapter 2 has 12 verses. And I want to suggest to you that as we read through it, you're going to find something. You're going to find that the first three verses tell us what the activity is of man and of the nations, and what the words are that they're speaking. You will find that verses 4 through 6, that is the second group of three verses, will be the activity of the Father and what he's speaking. Verses 7 through 9, or this third grouping of a group of three, will be the activity of the Son and of his words. And the fourth grouping will be verses 10 through 12, and will be the word and declaration and advice of the Holy Spirit. With that understanding, I'm going to read through it as a full chapter, and then we'll go back and take a look at each section. Psalms chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. I think that it's important in this day when we see a lot of rebellion going on in a lot of different areas and expressed in a lot of different ways, that ultimately it is a rebellion against the Father, against the Son, and against the Holy Spirit. And that is the root of it all, and you can put any face on it or any, but that is begetting everything else. You cannot leave God out of the affairs of a nation and expect there not to be consequences. And I'm not saying that God initiates the consequences. I'm saying that a society without God will reap what it sows. It's inevitable. And it isn't that God needs to do anything. Nature will take its course. We know it in the life of an individual. You can't uninvite God from your life. You can't plant wild oats and hope for a crop failure. It doesn't work. And so it is in the nations. And we see it in the words that are recorded that they, the nations, speak. Verse 3, let us break there, capital T, there. Who is there? Who are they? Who are they? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Can I say this to you? We as the church got to be careful. We don't take what's going on. We don't take it too personal. It's about way bigger than you. It's about way bigger than the country that you love. It's about the God that you love. And we need to understand that. And we need to recognize the root of it all rather than deal with the leaves and the outcome. Let us break their bonds in pieces. Cast away their, capital T, there, plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us. Let me read to you from the book of Genesis. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us, let us, let us. If you have felt like there is a organized plan that has taken over the whole earth, you're right. And it is an assault against God. And we need to understand that we are in a spiritual war, and we must wage the war in the spirit. It is manifesting in the carnal realm or the natural realm, but we must war it in the spirit. In the same way that our Father does. Jordan led us in singing the song earlier this morning. We are seated in heavenly places, and we have an authority there to do some things and proclaim some things and decree some things and pray some things and sing some things. And we've got to be doing that, but we've got to be doing it from the heavenly perspective, not the earthly perspective. And we've got to not enter into a carnal battle with carnal methods, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But recognize, church, we are men and women are of the Spirit. They that are led of the Spirit, these are the children of God. It is a time and in a season where every individual believer must be led of the Spirit to do what God has called them to do, and not look to the left or to the right and say, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? They're not doing what you're doing because they been called to, but you have, so do your thing. Do what God is telling you to do. Don't judge your brothers and sisters because you feel like they're not taking serious enough the things that you're taking serious. They're taking serious the things that God has told them to take serious. Allow one another to be led of the Spirit. Put enough confidence. We talk about a master plan to tear down and come against God. Well, God is quite a master planner himself. And he's got a body who has the ability. And not every part of the body is the hand. Some are the feet, some are the voice, some are the ears, some are the eyes. Let the body function and recognize that the head is calling the shots. Let us build a tower. I was reading from Genesis chapter 11 there earlier. Let us build a tower to reach the heavens that we might be like God. And we know that God came down and confounded the languages. And now the languages are coming together and they're no longer interested in building a tower to be like God. They are making themselves God on earth. And they are breaking free of the freedoms and the liberties that being under, a nation under, this is a nation under God, and I declare this still is a nation under God. And it will continue to be, I believe, by the grace of God and by you and I as the church doing our part. There is a battle raging, and it is light against dark. And Renee spoke of it a few weeks ago and did a tremendous job. It's a battle that's already been fought, and you and I are already victors. We're already conquerors. The only thing that can keep us from the victory is not engaging in the battle. No soldier entangles himself in the affairs of this life so that he might fully please him who has enlisted him. Recognize that you are a part of an army that is called to bring light and to bring salt to your spheres of influence. And sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not bright enough, or I'm not salty enough. Just be who God has called you to be. You are. Because you're not in it alone. But we must be in the battle. We need to recognize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need to recognize that the God of this age has blinded the minds of people lest they see the light of the glory of God. Renee said it well. They're in the darkness. They're not the darkness. Now their deeds are dark. Make no mistake about it. But it's because they're in the darkness. In the same way that we are the light and yet we're not the light in that we're not the source. So they are not the darkness in the sense that they are not the source of the darkness. But they're carriers of it, most certainly. But we're carriers of light. And light will triumph over darkness. But we must shine. And we must engage in the battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, we must take our place in the heavens. And there's a part of the heavenly battle that we don't mess with. That's God's part, and he's got angels for that. But we do speak into the affairs of the earth, but we don't do it from earth. We do it from heaven. We of all of God's creation are formed and fashioned to be able to traffic in both the natural realm and the heavenly realm. And we, like our God, created in his image, have the ability to do just what he does, create with his voice. Speaking of God, let's see what he thinks. Now God. That's the activity of man. Now God. And I believe God the Father. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. I had to look up exactly what that meant. You know what that means? That means he derides them. That means he mocks them. That means, and if this is hard for you to picture your God, na 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 boo boo. God laughs. Don't make no mistake about it. Just because he's laughing doesn't mean he's not working. He does not have to get up off his throne to get things done. You remember we're talking about the creator of heaven and earth who created the world with his voice. And understand that his laughter is a voice. And that he's speaking volumes. But he does speak something. Verse 5, and he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. What he says distresses them. And this is what he says. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. He's speaking of his son. And he declares a king. Do you know that all through history, the kings of the earth were watching because they'd heard of a coming of a Messiah? And they feared this king, and when he did come, we know that they killed babies of, you know, a certain age in order to hope in hopes of killing him. Just like they did Moses in his day. Why? Because a deliverer is coming. And it distresses kings to hear that there is a king that is a king of all kings and a lord of all lords. There is great concern in this day concerning anti-American sentiment. I want to suggest to you that you and I as the church ought to be much more concerned about anti-Christ sentiment. I'll say that again. Do not be as concerned about anti-American sentiment as you are about anti-Christ sentiment. The one begets the other. The rebellion that you see against law enforcement and all of that has a root in a rebellion against God. We need to know that. And we need to understand that. If you want to take something personal, take it personal that our Christ is being warred against. Nonetheless, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Bible tells us we ought not to be surprised. The Bible tells us that God says that once again he will shake not only things on the earth, but things in the heavens. And I want to suggest that there is a shaking going on, not only on earth, but it's going on in the heavens. Don't be surprised by it, but understand the end of it all. It is that we might receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we've got to be more concerned about the kingdom of God than the kingdom of man, no matter how precious our kingdom is to us here in America. And please, please, please hear my heart. I'm so thankful to live in this nation. But I know there's a greater kingdom, and it's being processed and delivered to us even now. And we must receive the kingdom. God is not slack concerning his promises, not as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering, willing to wait, because he would that none would perish. Recognize that God is up to something very significant. trust? We sang it. We opened with it this morning. Do you trust him? God is sovereign. And there's no greater demonstration of the sovereignty of God than Jesus Christ. Then the Son speaks. Verse 7. I will declare the decree that the Lord, that is, and we could theologically be sound to say that my Father said to me, you are my Son. This, and this whole, all three of these verses are what the Father said to the Son. I will decree the declare that the Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces with a potter's vessel. And if in those words you hear a violence, understand, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. But it is not a violence that is about revenge. It is a violence that is about redemption. The greatest evidence of the sovereignty of God on planet Earth is his Son. God has not lost control. He is still on the throne. And if he happens to be off the throne, it's because he fell off it laughing. Or he got up to do a little dance. Yes, God dances. And he dances way better than that. Oh, people, we can't take ourselves too serious. We've got to recognize that God is up to some good things. We've got to see the sovereignty of God in it all. It doesn't matter whether you read in Daniel chapter 2 where the scripture declares that God removes kings and raises up kings, or whether you read in Psalm 75 where it says that he puts down judges and raises up another, or whether you read the words of Jesus when he stood before Pilate. Pilate said to him, don't you know I have the authority to take your life? And he said, you don't have any authority other than what was given to you by the one who sent me. And he went on to say, therefore, they who delivered me to you have a greater judgment than you do. What was he saying? He was saying, Pilate, 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 you're just a puppet in a master plan. You don't know any better. They who delivered me to you, they do, or should have. Or we can listen to the words of God to Pharaoh, who said, I've raised you up for such a time as this. The Pharaoh who opposed Moses. I have raised you up for such a time as this that I might display my glory. And so that we didn't miss it, Paul refers to it in Romans chapter 9 and quotes that quote again. In Romans chapter 13, there's an exhortation of Paul to pray for the authority in our nations, because all authority is appointed by God. We did a little teaser video for this Sunday service, and in that video I said that I would be prepared this morning to announce who the next president of the United States is, and I am now prepared to do that. Having laid a foundation out of the scripture, both Old and New Testament, it makes it very clear the next president of the USA will be the person appointed by God. Amen. That should give us peace. Now, that doesn't mean we disengage from the battle. Just the opposite. It fuels us. It fuels us to fight the battle. And I am so thankful, and obviously I'm going to vote, and I know who I'm going to vote for, and it's none of your business. But I am so thankful that God is voting. And I'm so thankful that He is delivering to us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Good friend of mine, Carrie Kimmel, who's here this morning, prophetic intercessor who comes and meets with us almost every week in our prayer meeting here, and we get to have lunch every now and then, and he was sharing with me that in the last season, his prayer was, "Oh Lord, deliver us from evil." And I want to suggest that that is a good prayer for this season as well. Lord, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Do we believe that? And do we trust his plan? I feel like I need to ask you this. No matter who the next president of the United States is, will we pray for that person as generously and as enthusiastically as we've been praying for this one if it doesn't happen to be this one? What did he say? I said, will you pray for our leaders no matter who they are? Will you trust God and will you be obedient to the scriptures to pray for the God-appointed authority, whether we understand what God is up to or not? His ways are so much higher than our ways. And sometimes in the process of delivering us from evil, he takes us places to get us where we're going so that we can receive a kingdom that it cannot be shaken. The kingdoms of this earth are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior. And we are living in a hallmark time of real privilege to co-labor with our Lord to bring about his kingdom. Under his leadership. I'll say again, Jesus is the greatest evidence of the sovereignty of God on planet Earth. His life. And I think it'd even be safe to say, and the ongoing life of Christ as it is administered through the church. He who sits on the throne is laughing, and a lot of us aren't even smiling. I'm just saying. One of the ways that we battle is through peace and joy and love. And letting it exude from us in the midst of some of the biggest foolishness. Do I think what's going on is foolish? Oh, yes. And I choose to laugh. I will not get under it. I will not engage in the carnality of it. I'll engage in another level. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verses 10 through 12. So, having said all that, the Holy Spirit, which is God's agent on earth to advise man, to convince man, to convict man, to be the teacher and the paraclete, the comforter, has some advice. Verse 10, now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. You and I have a privilege of understanding what it means to kiss the Son, S-O-N, to embrace him, to love him. I encourage that you and I can do more damage in the heavenly realms by worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who the Father decreed would inherit the nations. By the way, let me get a drink. I gave my voice away shouting during worship, and I never forget, I shouldn't do that. But sometimes it bubbles up. By the way, do you think if the Father said to the Son, ask of me and I'll give you the nations, do you think the Son asked? I think he did. I know he did. Because he said to you and to me, go into all the nations. Go into all the nations. By the way, a thought came to me while I was reading, and I don't want to lose it, and it really doesn't fit here, but it fits. One of the things I said earlier, we need to be led of the Spirit as individuals. One of the gifts of the Spirit that we need is the discerning. But it is the discerning of spirits. Not the discerning of men. Not the judging of men. The discerning of spirits. What we end up doing is fighting a battle in the level of the leaves instead of the roots. You and I are called to go to the root. And we can do that by kissing the Son, by worshiping him, by making declarations of truth. I believe it is a time and a season for the church not to pray and ask God to do things, but to declare the things that he already said he intends to do, to decree things that he already has decreed. There's an authority that you and I have. We sang about it again. Jordan led us in it. We have an authority from the heavenly seat to declare some things in the earthly realm with our voice. Whether song, in song or word, we have the opportunity to be salt and light, to let men see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. My exhortation to us this morning is this. Be the church. Don't get caught up. No man entangles himself in the affairs of this life so that he might fully please him who enlisted him. Don't get caught up in all of the stuff. Recognize that you and I are representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who Heavenly Father decreed the nations are yours, including this one. Don't be so caught up in the anti-American battle that you don't miss the anti-Christ battle that's being waged. We should be far more concerned about the living images of God that are being ripped from wombs rather than the living or the dead images of men that are being torn down from monument stands. I think it's silly and foolish. Don't misunderstand me. But there are much more serious things going on that you and I could have our attention on. Recognize that our adversary is hard at work to deceive us. We read in Corinthians that the God of this age has blinded the minds of people lest they see. Don't let your mind be blinded. Don't let him mess with your mind and with your thoughts. Don't get a misrepresentation of what's really going on. And I'm not saying the facts aren't the facts. They probably are the facts, but they're not the truth. Let's stand together. Father, we come to you this morning in humility, with an awareness that things are not as they ought to be, and for that we ask your forgiveness. But we're also here with an awareness that your forgiveness is readily available to us and to anyone else that asks. And we do pray for those who are in darkness and are working deeds of darkness. We ask you for a mighty revival across this land, across this geographical area, as well as across this nation, of your light. We thank you, Father, that in times past, your light always shined brightest in the dark. And so we put our confidence in your light, and we will not be distracted by the darkness, but rather we will purpose to infiltrate it with your light. We declare as a church, locally and Big C Church, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, guide and lead us. Do give us discerning of spirits. Holy Spirit, do lead us as individuals to know what we ought to do so that we can have a confidence that we are about our Father's business. And we thank you, Father. Father, we do ask you to help us hear your laugh and to join in with you. Not only because we know there is a joy that supersedes the natural realm. We thank you, Father. Mm. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Bless you. Have an awesome week.